Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to the Beth Wee Radio Hour, an hour dedicated to helping you find connection so you can live your best life.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson. I'm here in the studio with my partner in crime, Lee Kimble. How are you doing today, Lee?
I am well gulp as well.
Well gulp as well? Yeah, I was gulping. Sorry about that. You know, today, Lee, I wanted to talk about something that we did at one of our newer workshops. Beth, people ask me all the time, how did you get into this? And the reality is that I've been working with people that have been impacted by addiction for over 25 years. I've been working with the people themselves and with their families. And what happens when you're working with people like that is you come to see what brings people down and how you can help people kind of pick themselves back up and get back going. And so this seminar that we did, we called it The Real You. And my tagline was, knowing yourself is wonderful, loving yourself is even better. And we were going to talk about ways to get authentic and find the spirit of love within. And it was quite a seminar, wasn't it?
It was. It was an excellent seminar. And another thing, too, that, you know, I found, and, you know, I've also had been blessed to work in this field, as you said, and as we so frequently speak of, the pebble in the pond. You know, whatever challenge or addiction or whatever's
troubling you or a loved one.
Troubling you.
Or a loved one.
Well, or a loved one, it just cascades out, and so many people are affected, you know.
It really does affect a lot of people.
And these are the people we work with. It's not just necessarily the people that are plagued.
No.
Everybody gets to play.
It is. They say that addiction is not a solo sport. Eventually, the whole family gets to play. That's one of the little things from one of the God Speaks books. And that's the reality. But we're talking today about another side of this. When you're doing the work, when you're trying to find your best life, when you're trying to be who you were meant to be, who you were created to be, it does take a little bit of gumption. You know, many of us are living on the periphery of our potentials, and we never quite realize where we could be.
Or as we've said before, just sort of snorkeling across the surface of life.
Right. And if you do some scuba diving, if you go deep, you see a completely different world. And the same is true with yourself. Mm-hmm. If you go deep and do the work, you can still come up and do the snorkeling, but it looks completely different to you because you know what's really down below. And you can appreciate the beauty in a new and real way. You know, if we take an honest look at how we live and compare that with what we really believe, would they be the same?
Hmm.
You know, this is how I live. This is what I believe. Are they the same? For many of us, we would say no. It's too hard to live what I believe. Or I don't have any control there. Or I can't make it happen. I don't know. You know, people get anxious.
Or even tie in a slice of what we've spoken in the past about is, you know, hand-me-down beliefs. Are my beliefs even mine?
Right. Or were they given to me by someone else? Well, an honest look can set us free, and that can be free of a broken past, no matter what caused your broken past, free of unwarranted judgment and shame, and free of living an unconscious life. I think that's the big one.
Yeah.
Living an unconscious life. Just think about what that means, kind of wandering through life, you know, not really aware of what's going on around you. Just showing up, but not really engaged. And is that how you will live your best life? I mean, I think we have to have times like that, times where we can just relax. But even the relaxation can be conscious. You can consciously not be engaging, you know?
Yeah, and when we are having the awareness, at least seeking and striving to live our best life, you know, the downtime is by choice. And it's not an escape. It's part of the pleasure.
Right, right. Well, you know, when I say an unconscious life, what do I mean? I mean, that's what we're, if you hear nothing else on this radio broadcast today, hopefully you'll take this one thought with you. Are you creating the life of your dreams, or are you punching a cosmic time clock putting in 24 hours at a time, but unconsciously going through life by rote.
Just going through the motions.
Just going through the motions and waiting for the day to end so that you can do the same thing the next day. Because that's kind of an unconscious existence. It's just da-dun, 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 da-dun. There's no whimsy. There's no enthusiasm. There's no surprises. There's no anything that
it's
will shake
drudgery.
It up. It is, you know. I'm sure some of you listening can identify. I'm sorry, but many of us were there. I know what it's like to go, oh my goodness, I'm kind of doing that. I'm kind of living by rote. I'm not really paying attention or following my passions or being who I was created to be. You know, this radio show is really for you, because I would love it if we could look at ourselves from a new vantage point and find a new way to live. I asked some hard questions at that workshop, didn't I?
Well, you did, and they were questions that I'm grateful that we were able to get people thinking.
Yeah. We started with some difficult questions, and we got the participants to engage. But first, I asked all the questions, and I had them take notes. And then after we asked the questions, we started to talk about them. I'm going to ask some of those questions now, Lee, just for the people listening.
To get you thinking.
Just to get you thinking. So, number one, what's important about your life? What's important about your life? Think about that. How about two? What was important to you before other people got a vote? You know, before other people got to say what should be important, but what was important to you way back when, before other people got a vote? Number three, who or what holds you back from taking action to pursue your desires, the desires of your heart? Number four, what do you want from life? That sounds like such an easy question, doesn't it? But it's a hard one, isn't it? What do you want from life? Number five, are you taking any action to pursue getting that?
Or have you given up?
Mm-hmm. Number six, when you answered questions one and two about what's important about your life, did your name make the list? Did you even add yourself to that list?
That we got some fascinating responses
we
from
did,
in the workshop.
We did, didn't we? Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of people struggled with that. You know, the questions go on, and they can make us look at life from a different perspective. But let's talk about some of the ones we already asked. What did people say was important to them? Mostly it was people they loved.
Responsibilities and others.
Yeah, and many of the men said kind of career, kind of work, their work, more than the women. The women were more saying their family. The men were kind of saying their work. It was interesting.
Because it's old tradition.
It is. It's and old you
would,
tradition.
Yeah, and it's something that you wouldn't expect to still be persisting in this day and age.
A long time ago, when I was talking to someone, I said that the first book I was going to write, it isn't, but the first book I was going to write was going to be called When I Get to Heaven, the First Thing I'm Going to Do is Beat the Crap Out of Adam and Eve. Isn't that terrible? I'm sorry, but the reason I said that was because of that. The women, you know, in that tradition in the Torah where it tells the story of Adam and Eve, the first two people on the earth to, you know, whatever, the thing that they did is Adam was going to look to his business for his well-being.
The roles were cast.
Yeah, he was going to look for him to feel good about himself. He was going to look to his business by the sweat of his brow, is what they said. And the woman was going to look to her husband for her well-being. So she was looking to her relationships. How are my relationships going? So I'm in this workshop this weekend, and I'm asking, you know, what's important about your life? And those two things came true, didn't they?
They did, and they're both limiting.
They're very limiting, because I don't know a man that I've known well who doesn't treasure his relationships. And I don't know a woman that I know well who doesn't take pride in the work that she does. We have both roles, but when you say what's most important, it's interesting to find out when and where your priorities are set. And who set them with you? Did you set them by yourself? Or did they just come to be that?
Have you just accepted that that's just the way it is?
Yeah, it's tough. You know,
like you don't get a choice.
Yeah, this is how it is. I'm a woman, so it's going to be this. Or I'm a man, it's going to be this. Or I am a whatever it is, fill in your blank, so it's got to be this. And it isn't true. What is the real you think? What's really important in you deep down? What makes you delighted? What makes you just grin? When you see something out in the earth or on a TV commercial or, you know, in the sky, what makes you say, oh, that is wonderful? Go ahead.
I was going to say, or on an even sadder note, when's the last time you actually even asked yourself or thought about it?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I was working with somebody that I was driving that with them to get their car fixed or something. I had to drive with them. And we were driving, and I said, can you believe how beautiful the sky is with those soft clouds? And the woman was really quiet. And I said, what do you think about the sky? And she goes, you know what? It just made me think I never look up. And I was so sad. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry, you know? And she said, no, that was good that you said that, because I realized I never look up. So she never saw the sky.
What and you with kids in their 20s still having them look for animals in the clouds.
It's very true. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back. Today we're talking about what's important in your life, and we're talking about the real you. Who are you really? What do you treasure? Stay tuned. It's going to be a good day.
Thanks for listening to the Beth Wee Radio Hour. Don't forget to check in at www.bethwee.com for more insights and information on how to connect in this big, crazy world. www.bethwee.com gives you dates of upcoming seminars, video teachings for those seeking recovery, tools for finding peace of mind, and Beth's blog, Thoughts to Challenge Your Complacent Thinking. Next time you're online, check out www.bethwee.com. Look for us on Facebook as well. We want you to live your priorities.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Beth Walsh Erickson in the studio with my partner in crime, Lee Kimball. And today, Lee, we're talking about the real you. Knowing yourself is wonderful. Loving yourself is even better. And we're talking about some of these hard questions we posed at a workshop that we did recently. And it really did get the people talking. It really got them engaged. What do you think was one of the things that people struggled with the most? With those questions, did you notice anything common or no?
Well, the first thing that struck me was in the very first question, you know, with what's important, how few people had included themselves.
Right. Very few people included themselves. What is that about? Why do people forget that they're important too?
You know, and at the workshop, it brought me back to years ago before we had started Beth Wee. You were involved in another group teaching, and I attended one I'll never forget because it occurred to me I had brought my mother with me. Mm-hmm. My mom was still alive at the time. And one of the things was, and you'll remember it, if all your bills were paid, if all your responsibilities were met, and somebody gave you $2,000, everything was satisfied, what would you do with it? Okay, and I can remember at the end of it, people giving their answers, and the question was, did I spend any on me?
Did you do anything for yourself? That was my question.
Did you do anything for yourself? And I didn't, and I suddenly became aware that I rarely did, and in my prayer life, I was never included in my prayer life.
You never prayed for yourself.
I never prayed for myself, and I can tell you, this is many years ago, to this day, and there's a wonderful little book that was suggested to me called The Prayer of Jabez.
I love the book.
And I
got it.
And I got to tell you that to this day, every day, I say,
bless me indeed.
Bless me indeed, and enlarge my territory. And enlarge my territory doesn't mean increase my real estate holdings. It means increase my reach. You know, and how has that been answered? Here I am speaking with all of you.
Yeah. You know,
So anyway, that was just my little story from that.
That's a great story. And that's something I still use in some of our workshops from time to time. I'll tell that little story, or I'll tell a story like it. I'll put people on the spot where they have to think about what they would do with a blessing that they got. And then I ask, did you do anything for you with that? You know, some people think that that's selfish or greedy, and they think that it's not loving and kind. And the reality is, just like the flight attendants say, put your own oxygen mask on before you put it on your elderly friend or your child. Yeah. Because if you can't breathe, the people around you won't get to, because you'll run out of air. And that's the thing. You can help others more when you help yourself. And part of that is, one of the things, it's a big deal to pray for yourself. But to realize your well-being is important. That's important about your life. That's a good point. That was good. You know, we always talk about tough questions. And life change can really start when we start to answer some of those tough questions. But the reality is, if you're sleepwalking through life, or if you're living unconsciously, you're not asking yourself the tough questions.
And that's a lot of what we talk about, Beth, is not just the tough. We're trying to inspire people to ask questions.
Right.
To look.
Just take a peek. Because if you're riding the unconscious train day in and day out, admitting the obvious can wake you up. Just the obvious. But the thing about it is, it's obvious that you don't do for yourself, for example, at that time in your life. You were not doing for yourself.
You weren't priority.
Yeah, you weren't on the priority list. So the question is, what will help you be on the priority list? What will help you put yourself on that list? Maybe it's just a question of, oh, I should put myself on that list. I mean, it could be just something that simple, like, oh, I didn't think of that. You know, choose to become, choose to progress. Choose to challenge the excuses that keep you from living your best life. And, you know, where do we go from there? And where do we go in the workshop from there? We talked about, when did you first recognize yourself? And people were trying to think about it. And, it, you know, from all my psychology classes and stuff like that in college, basically 18 to 24 months is when a child, if they see themselves in the mirror, they realize, oh, that's me. Kids earlier than that see the child, and they might even play with the child, but they don't necessarily know it's them. But, you know, 18 to 24 months, they're showing off for themselves. They're doing stuff, you know.
And it was fascinating, because when you had asked that question, I heard it differently. Mm-hmm. And my response was much later, because it was kind of like, when did I start to get an idea of who I was?
Yeah.
Not recognize myself physically.
Right. And that's important, too, because that 18 to 24 months is pre-conscious memory. Mm. Most of us don't remember back that far. Some of you do, and I know some of you listening do. And I'm always amazed when I meet some of you. It's a very small percentage of people that can remember way back then. It usually is a little bit later that we start to have conscious memory.
Yeah.
But you know, even as that little child, we were created to hunger for authenticity. It's such a big word, authenticity, to be authentic, to be the real deal. You know what I mean? When you think about authentic in this world, what are they talking about? Like, go to the authentic guy, or go to the authentic place.
The fake one.
Not the fake. Not everybody can pretend like they're the right answer, but the real guy, if you go to the real deal, you'll get the right stuff. And that's kind of what we're saying for you. It's instinctive to want to be authentic. It's just, you're created with that. You're created with the drive to be who you are.
So when you settle, you are going against your instincts.
Absolutely. And it kind of starts, it's kind of funny, when you think of when you were a teenager, or if any of you are teenagers listening, okay, think about now, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how to be you, or how to be accepted by them? I kind of like them over there, or I want to be in that group, or I felt stupid in class today when they called on me and I knew the answer.
And I got news for you. That's not just the teenagers.
No, but it starts there, mm-hmm. oftentimes. It starts in that preteen, teen era where We're starting to break out of our family of origin. We're trying to find society at large. And it's instinctive for us to want to belong, to want to be accepted, to want to fit in. Now, that's fine. All of us will work for that. But do you throw out the real you to make that happen? That's the difference. Some of us way back then threw out the real us. We just said, I'll just do whatever I have to do to be.
I will be who I think you need me to be.
That's true. When I remember once some people asked me to talk about myself, and I was telling them, and I mentioned a Rolodex that I kept in my head.
Yep.
And you know about it because you've heard me say this, and when I share, and that I had a Rolodex, and I learned as a young person to take a card. I'd meet you, and I'd say, okay, I met our producer. We have a new producer of a few weeks. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm wonderful.
You're
How
doing
are you?
Well. Doing well.
Doing
thank
well.
You. Now, when I met you, I took your card and I said, "What's your name?" And you said,
"Shane."
My name is Shane, and I wrote Shane at the top of my card.
Now, bear in mind, folks, this is all in her head.
Yeah, this is all in my head.
There is no real card.
There's no real card. And then I asked Shane a few questions about himself: where else he had worked, what else he had done, how long he had been in radio, and I kind of took mental notes on this little card. Are you with me, Shane?
I'm with you.
Did you do the same for me?
I wouldn't go for that extent. Of course, I also have a cheat. I have a schedule of everyone that's in here. So
you kind of know what's
coming. Yeah, I kind of look at the schedule and go, okay.
Okay, here we go. We'll see what they're doing. Well, so then I go, I put it in my Rolodex. And when I run into Shane, no matter where I am, I can talk to you. I just flipped your card. I know about you. I know the stuff I know. And I can be who Shane needs me to be. I can be the person who tries to make it easy going on the radio, tries not to make it a hard time to get the radio show done. I try to end on time. I try to start on time. I try to be prepared. Whatever it is, I try to make Shane's world easier. Now, I do this with every person I meet. At this one point in my life, those cards started flipping, though, and I was going through a real hard time. And a real exhausting time. And the cards were flipping, and I'd look at Shane, and I'd pull up Lee's card. And I wouldn't know what to do, because
I didn't remember him being that good looking.
Well said.
But at some point, Beth, what you lose, because you're adapting to every person you meet, and sort of that whole social chameleon thing. And then at some point, I lose who I am.
That's right. But you're called to fit in and to find your place. At the same time, you're called to be who you are too, and to have yourself fit in and be who you are amid the changes and the pastimes and the fashions and the fads and all that stuff. It all comes together, and that's how we live our life. But for some of us, we throw ourselves out with the bathwater. We throw the baby out with the bathwater, and we don't have anything. We stop being who we really are.
Contrary to our instincts.
Right. We start being whoever you want me to be. And when you're doing that, life can become unconscious. Boom, 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 boom. I'm just doing this. I'm just going through the motions. I'm not really having any effective responses in my life. I'm not having any passion. I'm not having any great joy. I'm just ba-bam, 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 ba-bam.
And like I said, but in the process, at some point, I forget who I really am.
Right, right. So that's the thing. As we age, this hunger for authenticity stays with us. As adults, we do the same thing, ba-bum, ba-bum, maybe with careers, with how much money we make, with the house we live in, with how we decorate the house or don't decorate the house at Christmas, depending on what the neighborhood says. Not depending on what you want.
And not the homeowners association.
No, just, yeah, you know, and all that. And this is what I'm saying is the hunger for authenticity affects us even into our elder years. We might, as elders, look back at our lives and see that we never did anything we really wanted to
do. Dissatisfaction.
It's a tough thing. We're talking today about the real you. Stay tuned. We're going to come back. We're going to take a little break for the news. Then we're going to have the 5 on 5. And we'll be here. Stay tuned.